Driving, and you're listening to Social Geek Radio.
Welcome to Social Geek Radio, brought to you by Minolto Social Media Management. Here are your hosts, Deb Evans and Jack Munson.
Welcome to Social Geek Radio. This is Deb Evans with Deb Evans Consulting.
And Jack Munson from Minolto, Inc. How are you doing today, Deb?
It is all fantastic, Jack. How's it with you?
It's good. You were telling me about some new Facebook features with the video platform on Facebook. So let's jump into Geek It Out right away and tell me what's up there. What have you found for us?
Well, the way I found it was I decided to go ahead and experiment with the Facebook live stream, which I loved doing at a recent Women Franchise Network meeting. Really great feature to be able to have an event and have folks who could not attend the event watch it live. So I tested that. Then I realized after I did the video, it doesn't save to my device like Periscope does. Mm-hmm. You know, you and I both use Periscope and it saves to the device and that's really cool. So it's like, well, wait a minute. I want that video. How do I get that video? What's on Facebook? To save a Facebook video, and it doesn't even have to be your video on your page. So here's how you can save the video. You go to the timestamp of the video itself and it opens up in a new window. You let it play for about 3 to 5 seconds. So, you know, let the video start to play and then you stop it. Once you stop the video and you see the URL at the top, which would be www.facebook, all these silly numbers and whatever it is, you know, because that's the URL of that particular video that you posted.
Right.
All you have to do is delete the www, change it with an M, like movie. So then it would read m.facebook and silliness, you know, all the numbers and stuff. Once you do that, you see that the URL has changed. All you have to do is then right click on that video and save as right to your desktop. And now you have saved any video that is on Facebook that you want a copy of. Now, I'm only doing this with my own videos, but it works. So then I could take that Facebook live stream video, I downloaded it to my computer, and then I can turn right around and I uploaded it to our Social Geek Radio YouTube channel.
And you've tested this with other videos too, that you can.
Yes, sir, I did.
So you can save other people's videos.
That's, yes, sure you can.
Okay, so what's your guess? How long will it take Facebook to block that?
I don't know. Until they do, I can now save videos. So.
All right. So if you've got videos out there, maybe it's your company's videos or videos from your friends or something like that, and you want to save them, go do it now. Because
do it now.
Give
go
it
download.
6 weeks, and it will probably be blocked. But yeah. Great Geek It Out. Love it.
Yeah, and it really is a great segue right into our podcast for the day and the guests that we have from, which I think, you know, are video geeks and the whole brand journalist team. So you want to bring our guests on and introduce them?
Yes, absolutely. Joining us today from Brand Journalist, we've got Josh Harrell, VP of Video Strategy, and Mike Ackley, franchise writer, both of Brand Journalist. How you doing, gentlemen?
Great. Hi, how are you? Good to be here.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us. Before we get into today's topic about using video and connecting with millennials, give us a little bit of background for some of our audience who may not be familiar with Brand Journalists. Give us a little bit of background on the company and your roles within the company. Let's start with you, Josh.
Sure. Brand Journalists is at its core, a lead generation service. We help franchisors connect to franchisees. We do that by building out websites with lots of content on it, via written or video, a number of different forms. And my side of it is figuring out the video side of it. So we work hand-in-hand with clients to make sure that they're telling their story and getting the story out there. And I do it with the documentary style for filmmakers. We try to do that with an emotional connection. We'll get into that more. Mike, on his side, kind of doing the writing.
And Mike, you're doing writing then? Okay. I was just going to say you're doing writing for websites and other types of written content like that?
Yes. My boss discovered that people who are interested in investing in a franchise spend a long time researching before, so it's important that we have to get them engaged and to keep them engaged and ultimately to tell the story so that the franchisees or the potential franchisees connect with that brand and want to invest.
Perfect. What we wanted to really get into today and tonight on Social Geek Radio is talking about sort of the next generation of business owners and entrepreneurs. Deb and I both mentioned at this year's International Franchise Association convention that it really had to be the youngest audience we've seen in several years. And I think the IFA as an organization has really come around to, trying to make the tent a lot bigger and, you know, not just, a bunch of 60-year-old guys from Texas. Not that there's anything wrong with 60-year-old guys from Texas.
Mr. Munson.
or 40-something-year-old guys from Chicago, we'll even say. We've got to make the tent bigger. And I think the IFA has done a great job of bringing more people in. I think there's a lot of room to go, but it really feels like brand journalists and a lot of the clients that you guys are working with really see that the next generation of business owners are sort of right at that point right now where it's time to have that discussion. Is that accurate?
Yes. Yeah, and we were actually there in San Antonio, so we were a part of that young crowd that you saw, Josh and I both. And it makes sense that the franchise industry is trying to engage millennials because, for several reasons, but there are three big ones, which is that we're now the largest demographic in the United States, and millennials are identified as being between 18 and 34, thereabouts, and two, we are going to be the recipients of of $30 trillion, which is the largest transference of wealth in American history. And two out of three millennials identify as entrepreneurs. So it makes sense for the franchise industry to capture our imagination and to get us involved.
That's an amazing number. Two out of three millennials identify themselves as being entrepreneurs. Wow.
Yes. Yeah.
That's impressive.
And there's several reasons for that. We came of age during a economic recession. Our role models are tech giants rather than, CEOs of Fortune 500 companies.
Mm-hmm.
There's a myriad of reasons why we want to identify as entrepreneurs and why we want to go into business for ourselves.
And a lot of our stuff came from, we were growing up during a time and certainly came of a career age during a time into the Great Recession.
Right.
And for most of us, we had to figure out our own role in that and make something for ourselves. And because we were thrust into that at that time in our lives, it makes us naturally entrepreneurial. You always hear about the entitlement of millennials, and I think that's true to an extent because most of us grew up with our parents saying we can do anything, put your mind to it and you're great. But if you pair that entitlement with the need of finding our own work and finding our own way through life, you're going to have some very entrepreneurial people. And I think that's what's entering into the franchise world now.
Yeah, I think first the business world is discovering this and someday soon the political world will discover this as well. But that's really interesting about, looking at the people that you're, the people that you look up to as a kid or maybe as a teenager looking at the tech giants of today, really, you know, in the 70s and 80s, let's say, you know, it was movie stars, right? Movie stars, maybe a president here or there, but mostly movie stars. So
a movie star that was a president.
Yeah, right. So that's really good insight. So with all of that said, why has it been such a challenge for companies to, you know, really engage with people who have that mindset? And maybe we'll kind of take the age out of it, but, you know, really focusing on people who have that sort of same collective mindset. Why has it been so hard to connect with people like that?
For most of us, we've been slammed with media and content, and it's this constant pulse of stuff that is always going by us. You know, whether it's Twitter or BuzzFeed or Facebook. From the youngest days of most of these people, we've been slammed with media and internet and everything, and so it's hard to latch onto something when there's that deluge of stuff that's always out there and always going past us. So, you know, one of our big things is making sure that there's something to latch onto. We always want to grab onto something, and something that feels real. And that's why you hear this authenticity push so much, because we gravitate towards stories and we gravitate towards something that feels real. And so one of the things that we push the hardest is making sure that we give content that is real and authentic, that can connect emotionally with somebody. And I think that's what millennials specifically are looking for, is the ability to connect with something.
And so the solution is obviously video. Is that right?
Oh, I certainly push video myself. I'm a documentary filmmaker, and we've seen it work in our spectrum. You know, when we're working with clients and so much of our job is helping the franchisor emotionally connect with a potential franchisee. And when it comes to emotion, video is bar none, second to none. And it's the combination of visuals and music and the whole package that video kind of sets it apart. And when we take it from a documentary perspective, you can really get down to the real level of somebody. Well, a lot of what we do, what I'm on the road doing now, is meeting with franchisees for a company, getting their story and seeing what their life is like because of the franchise they've now bought into. And you see the emotional impact, the financial impact, everything on what it has for these franchisees. And when you can do a little documentary or have some really, you know, poignant video to that effect, it's real and it's authentic and it's, like we said, you can latch onto it. You have that emotional connection with that person.
I love that idea of the mini documentaries. What are we talking about here lengthwise and content-wise? Is this something that's 10 minutes long? Is it longer than that? What do you typically work with?
Well, we found, you can go, most of our stuff is a 3 to 7 minute kind of range. What we're getting away from is what we've seen too often in the franchising world of drawing somebody at a convention and putting them up against your logo background and making them say nice things about you. And you have a 15-minute video with just a bunch of franchisees doing that. And that just seems to be ineffective. You know, we brought these documentaries into the franchise development world and let franchise sales will use these videos. And they'll send these videos out to prospects that they have in it. And it's, you know, just a nice little 6 to 7 minute video. The impact is having, you know, every single one of them that we've done for a client, they've come back and said, we want more of them. And so it's just been neat to see that kind of impact.
That's great.
Because if you think.
Go ahead, Mark.
Please. Well, I mean, if you think about it, a video is it's really the only way that you could see yourself in a business. And, you know, from the millennial perspective, what we really value, like Josh said, is authenticity, but we also value shopping local and sustainability and integrity, because it's not all about making money for us. We want to see someone that's passionate about their career and someone that has a career which has provided meaningfully for themselves and their families. And a video is really the ideal way to do that.
Yeah, and are these typically done sort of, you know, day in the life kind of feel? I mean, is it done on location where this person is actually living and working, as opposed to the old-fashioned corporate video, right?
Absolutely, yeah. We have actually a lot of internal debate about what actually reference calls these videos, but a day in the life is one thing. For me, that a day may limit the scope of what it is, because ultimately it's just what is this person's life like because they are invested in it with this franchise.
Yeah.
And so we do want to give them a feel for what a day is, sure. And that's important to see what their daily responsibilities are. But to Mike's point just then, it's more than just a day. It's what am I doing for me? What am I doing for my family? What am I doing for the greater good of society that is a big thing for millennials to show, you know, yes, I want to make sure that I'm doing okay, but I also want to make sure that, like, I have a place in this world and I'm doing something to impact it. And that extends beyond that day in the life in that sense.
Yeah, for example, Josh did a video of a franchise owner in New Jersey for Amco, and you really see a person who has spent decades in this shop, and, you know, it follows them around the shop, and it gives a good understanding of what his daily responsibilities are, but it also gives some insight into how meaningful and how life-changing the decision to go into business for him and his family really was. And I think that's absolutely essential, because, you know, we keep coming around to authenticity, but authenticity is a buzzword, which is kind of meaningless in a way, because it's something that as millennials we have been inundated with content, so we can see basically everything that a company does every time that we, you know, Google search a pair of jeans or a pair of shoes and it's essential, really, for us to be able to capture that reality.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It absolutely does, and I think the fact that you guys are making these videos so authentic, or as authentic as you know a film can possibly be, I think you're also, you know, it's cool to think about decades from now. You're going to have these little archived pieces of video where people can actually go back and see what was business like in the year 2016. You know, what was it like to run a store? What was it like to run a business or an Amco shop in New Jersey? So I think it's very cool that you guys are making these really authentic, you know, pieces, and it's not just a really long, noisy commercial that,
right.
You know,
I mean, we really don't respond. There's been numerous surveys about what millennials respond to, and we do not respond to commercials at all.
Yeah.
We are completely cynical of them. And it's for that reason. It's for the reason I was trying to get at before, where, you know, for instance, a company like BP will always be identified with the oil spill, no matter how much good they do.
Yeah.
Going forward, because, you know, a simple Google search will tell you, and if that doesn't tell you, then your uncle on Facebook will remind
right.
you.
Right.
So it's
right.
constantly it's right. constantly in your face.
Yeah, and I would think with the videos that you guys are producing now, because of the length, the 3 to 7 minutes, these can certainly be hosted on the website, but I'm guessing the capabilities of being able to share them via social media has such a great impact today because of where we are with the digital world. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. We're just kind of now venturing into the analytics behind video and seeing all the things that you can do with it. You know, we're using it as pre-roll on YouTube, so that, you know, you can put advertising behind that, and Facebook and Facebook advertising, even as we were talking about that before. There's so much use for it. You know, we house them a lot of times on agency for Vimeo, and you know, embed them onto the websites that we're creating for clients. But you know, we don't want to waste the assets just have them sit on the website. We want to use them and get them out in the world and have this be a first point of contact, a gateway piece, if you will, for prospective franchisees to run into the brand. You know, if we're putting out a video for, as Mike talked about, any AMCO franchisee, we want somebody who's searching for those kinds of things on Google or Facebook or anything to run into the video and then be directed back to the website. So yeah, we're intersecting them all. And Jack, you were talking about from a production standpoint of these videos, what we're doing is going and spending a whole day or 2 days with one of these franchisees. So it's an intensive process, but there has to be time involved in it to get down past just the surface level of stuff. You know, we have to be able to open somebody up to the idea that they're free to talk about their life. They're free to talk about, you know, the impact that stuff has.
And I would think, and Mike, you do franchise writing, so these videos aren't, you know, just fly the night, you know, you just open up Periscope or whatever and do a video. So there is some scripting involved and some professionalism, but there's also, I think what you guys do really well, it's also that feel that it, as we've been saying, it is real, it's authentic. So it merges that personal and that professional, and you make quite very nice documents.